I'm Brian, an alcoholic.
Hey, Brian.
I don't know how long this meeting goes to, so I never got sober and drunk in 20 minutes. I never thought that I was going to do the things that I did when I was drinking. I never thought that I was going to be the person, because everything that I did in my life was normal. You know, I hear people from the podium speak about, I never fit in. I didn't, but when I drank, I was the guy that wouldn't let you fit in. I was the guy that, even before booze, I wouldn't let you fit in. But when I got booze, I would definitely make sure you wouldn't fit in. And when I found out what booze would do for me, because I was already an egomaniac and I thought I was tough, and I became tougher and I became bigger, and I kind of alienated myself from the good people, so to speak. And I, in high school, I surrounded myself with some pretty bad dudes, and we never went to school. We never did the things that we were supposed to. Because my mom and dad were divorced, and I thought, I can do what I want. So when drinking started pretty heavily in high school, and when I got out of high school, I was the only senior. I was only 19-year-old senior with my own apartment and a fiance, and she was 21, so she could get the booze, and I had my own place, and I could write my own notes for being absent from school. And I remember my wife and I were looking at some report cards, and I had like 47 days missing out of my senior year, and they still graduated me. It took me 5 years, but I got out of there. I think they were really happy to get rid of me. Long story short, the drinking, I was always a worker. I was always good at my jobs. I always got advanced pretty quick because I was a really good BSer. I mean, my work ethics were good, but I still was a good manipulator, a charmer. Everything worked. I knew how to play that card really well. And so when I had two full-time jobs, my wife got, well, I got married. I was in Jersey, living in Jersey, and there was a night where my wife kind of had enough of my drinking. I worked at a country club, and it was in the middle of the winter, and my story and her story are very different, but mine's real. I got drunk, and I was the banquet captain, and she wanted to go home, and it was like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and that's not ready to go home. And she was ruining my night. And because everybody, there was only like five or six people, but they were drinking like me, and we were having a lot of fun. So I thought. So she was driving home that night, and I berated her verbally really bad, and she threw me out of the car. And of course, the good alcoholic that I am, I'll get out. In the middle of the winter, with miles from my house, and drunk. And I remember lights would be coming down the road, and I didn't want to get whatever. I just didn't want the cops coming after me. And I would duck into the woods every time a car would come down. And she says I fell in a puddle, but I definitely fell in a lake. So here I am. Here I am, soaking wet, running to my dad's house. And I knock on his window. It's got to be 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And I'm knocking on my father's window at 2 o'clock in the morning. And anybody knocking on your window at 2 o'clock in the morning is not good. And my dad has a gun, and and nothing bad. It's just he pulled it out. He got me in the house, and I remember smoking a non-filter Camel that night, and I was like, "Man, this is the best cigarette." I'm so happy, and I'm warm, and my dad we come from alcoholics in our family, and my dad, like, what happened? And I told him my story, and he definitely agreed with me that I was right, and. But my wife was a little disturbed at my drinking at that time. I don't even think I was 21 yet. I had to go to my first AA meeting because I think my dad stopped drinking. AA was in my house somewhere. And it was my brother. He lived in Jersey City, and I would go up every Friday night to Jersey City, up the turnpike, and go to my meeting. And it was just old people in a basement. And I just got to see my brother is all it was, and got my wife off my back. But that was it. That was my AA. It was once a week, no steps, no sponsors, no talking to people at the meeting, just my brother. And so I would get her off my back. And then 3 months, I didn't drink for 3 months, and I decided, or no, we decided that we were going to move to Florida. And my brother said, that's probably not a good idea. You only got 90 days sober. And, you know, things that I know now, and telling a new, you know, you might not want to make any big changes in your life. And well, what do you know? I'm going. And it was all about money. It was all about, I had a job opportunity of kind of an illegitimate job that the FBI doesn't like. And when we got down here, I became a country club manager down in, or up in Hernando County, and life was really good. Life was, the bills were paid. John was talking about, you know, the bills were paid, the family was good, everything, you know, I felt, I didn't drink for 10 years, I forgot to tell you that. I found other dry substances in between there, but I didn't drink for 10 years. And I remember I was 31 or so, and I'm okay. I'm definitely okay. My wife's all right. She's off my back. The kids are in school. The mortgage is paid. The house is good. I always made sure the front of my house looked perfect. Always. And I started a fight with my wife. I think I did that on purpose. She says I did. And I went to the Circle K on my bike, and I got a six-pack of beer, and I sat on my driveway, pissed off to drink this. I am, like I always drank, pissed off. And I finished that, was pretty drunk, and went back up to get another six-pack. And that one, as I was coming out the door, the bag broke, and it smashed on the ground. And there, you know, now I know that, you know, that was something talking to me. And I went back in the store and berated the clerk because your bags suck and you break. And they were very happy to give me another six pack and get me out of that door. And it took off from there. The drinking and other things. You know, my mind is twisted. My loyalties and the things that I have in my life were twisted at the time. I only know this because I got sober and did some steps and talked to some guys. You know, looking back at my life, thinking about what kind of father I was and what real love is and what am I really doing here. And you know, I didn't even know the cost of milk yet. I'll tell you how many grams are in an 8-ball of cocaine, you know, and I'll measure it. You know, but that's where, and I only know that because I thought that was normal, that, you know, of course we know what that is. We're supposed to know how much is in it, or how much alcohol content is in the beer I'm drinking that night, or, you know, or the big, just never did anything that was healthy for me. But my wife stuck with me, and we went through some horrible time. Or no, she went through some horrible times. I was drunk, and drugs and alcohol. They decided to dictate everything in my life. They dictated how much I stole, who I beat up, how much, who I woke up with, where I woke up, what I'm driving, and it dictated everything in my life. And I only know that again because I look back on my life, and I got violent. I got really violent in my house, and the kids were scared. The wife would always, Rachel would always, you know, be quiet, daddy's sick, and which is more or less true. And don't wake him up. Please don't wake him up. Or when I would come in the house, it would be, you know, who's coming in the house? Is it my husband, or is it the drunk, or is it the guy looking for money? Or there was one night at the end there where I got violent, and she called the police. And it was right out of, like, remember when cops came out in the 80s and that guy was standing on the front of the yard with just jeans and no shirt and no socks and no shoes and going, let's go. She said she was calling the cops. I went outside to wait for them, and they showed up, and I definitely didn't do let's go. Because more than one, it was one cop and then another cop. I used to tell it was like six of them used to show up, but it was one and then another one. Then the guy left because he asked me, what am I doing? What's your plan here or whatever? And basically I said, I'm going to kill everybody in the house and then I'm going to kill myself. And I didn't know that's illegal in Florida. Whereas it's actually illegal a lot of places, I heard. But they arrested me, or they put me in cuffs, and they took me to the crazy house. And I kept screaming that night. I remember because it was kind of blurry. I got cuffed up in front of my son and my wife. And are you happy now? Are you, you know, this is what you want? And guilt tripping them and making sure that, you know, I'm the victim here because I'm in cuffs. And I remember yelling at these cops, you can't arrest me for words, man. You know, I didn't do anything. And of course, in the mental institution, they I started to freak out, and they put me in a special room and with a skylight, and it was very nice. And you know, I definitely learned to calm down, because you're not gonna go anywhere if you keep acting up. Just put the blanket over your head and walk around, and it's gonna be all right. Just shut your mouth. But I remember calling my wife every day for, I can't tell you, I mean, there was a white phone on the wall because they kept me so doped up. It was awesome. There was this white phone on the wall. And I remember that white phone, and it was free, and I would call my wife a lot, and she'd hang up on me every time. And I needed that. I definitely needed that. Because I thought, well, I did at the time. Of course, I love my wife and my children and all these things. And you know how my drinking stopped? My wife joined Al-Anon. That's the God honest truth. She joined Al-Anon, and she met some women in her life that didn't... I don't know. I was mad at them too. Because if I want to be honest, they gave my wife a life that I couldn't. They gave her her own identity. They gave her her own... she used the word no a lot. She set some boundaries, see. And then the word divorce came up, and oh my God. And you know, then it was starting to get real. And but I friggin' knew that this AA thing... You have to stop drinking, because my dad and my brother, and I didn't want to stop drinking. I just didn't. So I manipulated that a little bit with, you know, maybe I'll go to treatment. And my wife started to look for treatment for me, and she threw me out. I was living with my dad. And she started to look for treatment for me, and then I remember her. I still have the folder. She goes, "You want treatment, find it yourself." And she handed me the folder. I knew I was done. I just knew that this is it. It's the end. And unless you get treatment, there was no alternative. It was done. You know, there wasn't like, if you get treatment, I'll take you back. And all I want to do is get back into Big Bed. All I want to do is get back in that house. And all I want to do is be back with my family, because I am so petrified of being alone. It's unbelievable. I've never been alone in my life. And that motivated me. I went to treatment, not to stop drinking. I went to treatment because I found some things out when I went to treatment. I found some things out, like I'm what a real alcoholic is, and what my criminal behavior gets me, and where are my thoughts and my thinking, my actions, my behaviors. And it's not AA, it's not, but it definitely clicked some things, because they would take me to these meetings, and I remember them taking me to the men's meeting on Wednesday night, and I would go up there, and my dad was up there. He would wait for me, and these guys with Hawaiian shirts and hats, and even this guy with a black trench coat was up there, and it was like really warm out. I was like, "What are you doing?" And just, and he got in my face, and I got in his face. We weren't allowed to talk to each other, and it's just like, you know, you're just a redneck from Florida. You ain't Jersey or whatever. We definitely are friends today. 15 minutes, good stuff. All right, so I'm gonna get sober. When I left treatment, I had to go back to my dad's house. I'm pretty sure I went back to my dad's house. And I started to go to these meetings, and I started to listen to these guys, and I started to, the guys in the Hawaiian shirts, and I started to follow some suggestions, simple suggestions. Go to meetings, talk to people about your problems. And I don't remember. I remember being uncomfortable asking for a sponsor, and I remember... You know, because my ego just wouldn't let me do those things. And I started the steps with this guy, and then he kind of went to Virginia for... He told me 2 weeks, but he was gone for like 6 months. And I got another sponsor, and we did the steps. And I found out... And there was no revelation in my life. There was no parting of the seas or anything like that, because I think I was still pissed. But the real sobriety came because I... did some things is later. The things that I notice in my life today, the things that what sobriety gives me, the reason there is a reason why I did a four step. I didn't know it at the time, but there is today why I know why I did a four step. You know, I can't ask for the things that I have in my life today. Those things are pretty much given to me, because if I do the right things and I stay on the right track and I help new people, I can. I never thought that I'd be standing up here. I never thought that AA would do this for me. I never thought that a stupid book with 12 things that would actually change my life, because I was so hesitant about it, because it's not right. It's not real. But when I when I got into the book and I started to do these steps and I started to talk to people and I changed my life, that spiritual experience it talks about, it wasn't, you know, I had a problem with that too, because spiritual meant, you know, sitting on a mountain in a robe and waiting for the light. And but spiritual today is to me is change, is and we talk about it, that personality change. So spiritual is me going through the steps and doing the things and looking back at my life and saying, yeah, that went wrong, or that's not good. You know, this is probably, this year is probably, you know, it wasn't a good year for me. It wasn't I'm not going to get into it, but it wasn't a good year. Some bad things happened to me in my life, and some things are still going on in my life, but I don't drink. And I bounce things off of guys, and I try to help somebody else. You know, there's somebody, I was going through some stuff the other day. I was telling my friend Chris that there was no way I was answering his phone at 10:45 at night. And I went through something yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah. And the phone rang at 10:45 last night. It was last night. And I'm like, I looked at my phone. I'm like, I know this son of a bitch just wants to talk bitch about his life. And that's what he did. But I definitely answered the phone, because that's how God talks. God's not talking to me through the phone. Don't get me wrong. I just... But after I'm off the phone, and after me and this guy talk for an hour, I realize that, you know, this is how God works in my life. You know, I have to pick up the phone. He'll ring it or whatever. You know, I'm not going to go there. But, you know, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. It's none of my business. But I have to do the work. You know, God will take these defects of character. See, I'm still a liar. I just try not to lie. I am still that guy. I'm still I love booze. I'm an alcoholic. I just don't drink. I'm a thief. I just try not to steal. Notice I say try. You know, I'm not perfect. I try to be the perfect father, the perfect husband, the perfect worker, the perfect friend. You know, and it took a long time for me to realize that I'm not perfect. But that doesn't mean, that doesn't give me an excuse to be a shithead either. Sorry. You know, I don't know where John got these red and blue wire. What was that story? I just thought of that. What AA and the 12 steps have given me is what they talk about in the book, is that new design for living. So my reaction to life is different. And it's not always, and it's, sometimes it's the same. Sometimes that guy creeps up. And I don't know about you guys, but when that guy creeps up without booze, man, it's bad, because I just want to, I don't want to get drunk. I might as well get drunk. And I've done some stupid things in sobriety, and I can't believe that I did the same thing. You know, what's my excuse now? That's my deal. What's my excuse? My excuse is that I'm not believing in a higher power. I'm not working with new, you know, those stupid things that I thought were stupid back when I got sober. Those are the reasons why I do the things that I do. You know, I've done some things where I refuse to get on my knees. I refuse to call my sponsor. I refuse to call my guys, because I'm going to do what I want to do. And believe me, I went and did what I wanted to do. And it didn't turn out pretty at all. I felt horrible. And I could do that with drinking. That's what scared me. I could do that with drugs. I could do that with anything in my life. If I choose and make my mind up that I am not going to do these things, I could do it with not drinking also. I can do it with doing the steps. I can do it. I don't want to go there. I don't want to drink anymore. My life today with a wife who went to Al-Anon before I got sober. I don't know if any of you have family in Al-Anon, but if you do, your drinking's screwed. We can have conversations. She has a program. I have a program. I raised kids in sobriety, and that, I don't know about you guys, but raising kids drunk was easy, because I was never there. Being accountable, being responsible, doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, and it's not always the way I want it, because I'm a control freak. You know, if these kids just do what I say they do or feel the way I feel, it's quite a rush. It's quite a ride. And with my wife having her program, I have my program, there's not a lot of, man, we haven't had a big blowout in a long time. The only thing we fight over is our kids. Because she's an Al-Anon. being in AA has changed my life. Being in AA has made me exactly who I am standing here today, because I try to be one guy. I try to be the guy that's standing at this podium is the same guy that goes home, the same guy who goes to work, the same guy. That's important to me because when I was drinking and drugging and doing those things, man, I had to be somebody else when I went to work. I had to be somebody else when I went to my guys. I had to be somebody else when I went to church. You know, I had to be somebody else. And now I'm nuts. But it's all right. You know, it's not bad. I like who I am because I'm honest. I try to be honest. I try to be honest with my sponsor. I try to be honest with my friends, with my family. And that's a big deal. If I'm not honest with me, man, I can bullshit you all day long. If I'm not honest with me, I know I can do that because I am so good at that. Because I can make you believe. You know, I quit a job making a ton of money, running a country club, and I convinced my wife. I was the manager. I was the country club manager. I convinced my wife that I was going to quit that job and go work at Arby's. And she believed me. I mean, it took a little bit and then a little bit of work and everything like that, and it did. And I got to Arby's, and I definitely didn't like it. So if I'm not honest with myself and I'm not honest with my guys, I can't. I don't know if I'm going to get drunk today. But I know that eventually I will get drunk if I don't stay in the solution. Working with new guys or taking people through the steps and watching that stuff go off and watching people make amends and I never thought I would feel that way about somebody helping me when I'm trying to help them if I explain that right. When I'm helping a new guy, he has no idea what he's doing for me. Like that guy that was on the phone last night. I didn't tell him what happened that day, and I didn't tell him, you know. But he helped me get out of myself so I could listen to his BS or whatever, and we worked some things out. That's what this is about. I stay sober to help the new guy, to show him that this thing works. I have no idea how it came to be that I have eight and a half years. I just don't drink. I help some other people. I do what I'm supposed to do. I've changed my life a little bit. No, bullshit. I've changed my life a lot. I mean, I'm nowhere near the guy that walked into this room because my motives were wrong. My motives were absolutely wrong. I just wanted to get my family back. I did not come in here to quit drinking. I did not come in here to. I just came in here to hide, actually, to fake it. So, and when I started to do these things, and I got through the steps, and I listened to some of these guys, my life is. It's really good. And there's some bad days and there's some incredible days. There's way more better days than good. And I just wish I could say, look what I've done. Look at the great job that I've done. And look at what I'm doing. Because I used to say that, you know, I'm at AA now. And I'm, you know, oh, honey, I'm doing good. And you know, I used to tell the guys, when she threw me out, I used to tell these old guys in their hats and their Hawaiian shirts, could you please call my wife, tell them I'm going to meetings and stuff. And they were like, no, we're not calling your wife. And because I wanted her to know, because it was all fake. I just wanted people to see the front. So if I don't have a front, then I don't have anything to prove. You know, my yard doesn't look like it used to because the stuff on the inside is going really good. You know, I got some dead patches. But before, the outside, my image, the house, the whole thing was perfect because I don't want people to see what's going on inside. And I was good at it. And I hid it. And my wife took it for a long time. We've been married this year for... looking at you like you know. 24 years or something like that. And that's remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. And to be the father that I am and the husband that I am, and the AA gave me that. I didn't do that. AA gave me a new way to live. Thanks for my sobriety.